This is Marketplace Money from APM. A lot about the way we work is in constant flux. It can depend on the economy, demographic trends, where you live, but we're always doing it, at least in part, to get paid. And it can be really hard to ask for more money. For women, yes, even in 2014, the protocol of asking for a raise can be so complex. It's like walking backwards on a tightrope across a pit infested with alligators while wearing a blindfold. Tara Siegel-Bernard wrote about all this. She's a personal finance reporter at the New York Times. Welcome back to Marketplace Money.
Thanks for having me.
I have to say, parts of this article made me want to throw it against the wall. What did you find about this box that women find ourselves in at work?
Yes, well, you wanted to throw it against the wall, as did a lot of other commenters and readers, including myself. There's a subtle form of discrimination, even now in 2014, that still persists in the workplace when women don't conform to stereotypes, when they're not viewed or perceived as sufficiently feminine. And by feminine, we mean, caring more about others as opposed to ourselves, caring more about the communal good. They're discriminated against, or they're not perceived as being likable. And that tends to backfire when they're advocating for themselves in the workplace.
So how do you ask for a raise if you're the best at your job?
Well, women need to take a more calibrated, thoughtful approach than men. And a lot of these tips would work for men as well. But the gender and negotiation experts that I spoke with said it's just more important for women to take these special steps. And one of those includes just using the right language. Women, these researchers have found, do better when they legitimize their requests. And by legitimize, we mean making the request seem more appropriate. That means saying something like, you know, my supervisor suggested that I come to you about this, and here's why. And you can't help but, you know, it just feels offensive to even to think you need to do that. But apparently it really pays to take this more pragmatic approach. And, you know, hopefully it moves women forward.
One thing that struck me in your piece, I've always sort of carried in the back of my mind, well, it can't hurt to ask. The worst they could do is say no. Does that actually hold true?
Well, it depends, I guess, on how you ask. If you are a woman and you're just brazenly self-promoting, that can hurt. It can backfire. According to the researchers, when women are too aggressive, they're not viewed as likable, and they're not as likely to get what they're asking for. So women should frame their requests from the employer's perspective. That was another approach or another suggestion. One of the academics that I spoke with, Hannah Riley Bowles of Harvard, said that she refers to this as the I-we strategy. You know, you might be thinking about something from your perspective, but when you're making your pitch, you want to kind of twist that around and it should come out as, you know, a we think, or, you know, use the we in when you're actually crafting the language or making you're making your pitch.
Did any of the experts you spoke to say if it mattered whether a woman's boss is male or female?
Yeah, you know, this seems to hold across both sexes, whether you're dealing with a man or a woman. It pays to take this, you know, special approach, more measured approach. You know, we discriminate equally across gender lines.
I was also struck by some advice that the people in your piece gave about keeping things to in-person conversations and not to email. Can you pare down some of the advice that they gave? Because I thought it was really helpful for sort of the best ways to approach self-advocacy.
Sure. I know. When I initially came across that research, I thought, huh, you know, if we're talking about gender, that's one way to take it out of the equation if you're just kind of sending an email, right? But apparently that can backfire too, because it could come across as cold, more aggressive, because you're kind of making this list of demands, perhaps. And when the person is reading it, they might it might come across as too demanding. And you're not able to kind of calibrate or kind of pull back on some of your requests because it's not a two-way conversation. Several people suggested just doing it in person or over the phone where you can, you know, have more contact and be able to read what's going on with the other person's reaction.
And any tips for things you should keep in mind before you go into that conversation?
It shouldn't be something that you just go in blind and, you know, you finally muster the courage or you feel like you've been doing a good job. A lot of the experts I spoke with said, you know, start early, well before, say, a performance review, for instance. Start collecting email compliments that you might be receiving. Write things down. Try to collect objective metrics on how you're doing, depending on your position. Some may have that ability, some may not. And then present that information, not as naked self-promotion, but in an appropriate context, like a performance review, for instance. And a lot of these experts also said that it helps when you have, when especially for women, for other people to trumpet your horn, so to speak. So it's better to have people promote you on your behalf instead of you doing it directly.
Tara Siegel-Bernard is a personal finance reporter for the New York Times. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
For a print version of this story and all the reports we've produced with the New York Times, you can check out our ebook. It's a special production called Work in America, and it's available on the Marketplace e-reader app or on our website, marketplace.org.